We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
That's definitely.
This game gets really fucking weird.
So you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God. It's
just... Because we're in it to win.
That's
it.
I was going to say, wait, something about being in it, but I don't know
where
it goes.
I'll be last.
Left court,
you know,
blue.
I just watched The Karate Kid.
Oh, I like swear the original
to God,
one?
Yeah, the original one. And I swear to God, I've only heard that part of the song that goes, "You're the best around." And the beginning is actually really good. Like, I didn't know it was that song. I'm like, damn, why wasn't this song the main song in the movie? And then it gets to that. I'm like, oh, it is the main song.
Yeah, it's so
movie.
Good.
I'm surprised how good it is. Well, welcome back, really... guys.
Hi.
I'm Scott.
And I am Steven.
And we are a tri-weekly
tri-weekly hot topics. Anorexic. I mean, I've been losing weight, but not being
anabolic. I can't think of any Anna words. So other Anna words podcast.
Okay. Anna and the Apocalypse. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
It's a zombie musical.
Okay. No, that's stupid. Shut up.
It's pretty bad.
For real though. Welcome back. We're a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer. We're doing another hot takes edition this week. We should probably do this at the beginning of every episode just in case people come in like now. As a new listener, but
no.
Essentially we are a podcast that does video game reviews, telling you the background of the video game, but every once in a while we like to do hot takes, and more once in a while lately than usual. So
yes,
yep.
So yeah, I mean, we are doing hot kind takes. Of fun. We bring different questions to the table and we give you our like favorites or least favorites of different various random subjects.
Yep. Last week we did a little bit of the zombie game one and our favorite soundtracks, I believe.
Favorite ability taglines.
That's right. And the previous one was the favorite
soundtracks. Yep.
Soundtracks and something else. Sounds, I think, or least favorite sounds.
It was the sounds that made you like, the most nervous, like the most unnerving sounds in video games.
And you know, I don't remember if we mentioned any like the creeper sound.
We mentioned a ton of Minecraft sounds. You just said all sounds Minecraft in general. I said all the shit with the Underdark and the Warden, but you said just Minecraft in general.
Minecraft is just a giant, giant fucking stressful game. Every sound stresses you out. I would recommend playing without sound.
I mean, it's pretty great. Or if you have like the Toy Story expansion, you can play with the Toy Story sound and it plays like You Got a Friend of Me and shit while you're
over
playing.
Over and over. Oh my God, that would get so annoying.
It's actually pretty cool. It's not bad.
Is it?
I mean, I haven't played it for like an extended period of time, but probably a couple hours, but it wasn't too bad. But
guys, I just
time.
Want you to know that the guy who wrote that song, I think Randy Newman, I think it was.
Yeah.
He has a song called I Hate Short People. And I want everyone to go because it is the funniest song. It's like in the 70s. It's before like comedy music was huge. It's before Bo Burnham and everything. And if you just go and take a listen, you're like, wow, Randy Newman's actually kind of fucking funny.
All right. I might have to listen to this. Go.
Maybe it was Little People. I don't remember either way. But either
oh, damn.
They got little hands, little feet. Geez. It's so stupid, but it's so
you know
so
sometimes
funny.
You always have to laugh at the really random obscure shit like
and
like sometimes like the random obscure shit is like we're random obscure.
I'm obnoxious.
But I mean it's true, like you just hear some of those random facts sometimes you're like wait what the fuck, like
yeah,
why
yeah. But seriously, guys, go check out Randy Newman's. It's either I Hate Little People or I Hate Short People or something like that, and you will find it, and it's fucking hilarious.
All right.
It's actually a pretty fun song, too. I'm not going to lie. It's very catchy.
Nice.
Yeah. Randy Newman's not a good musician, but he's fun to listen to.
Hey, I mean, I love the Toy Story soundtrack.
You got a friend in me.
It works, dude. It works for what it is.
I think he's dead, too.
I don't remember. I don't know. Remember anything anymore.
Either way, this week we are doing a hot takes on our favorite villains from video games, as well as our favorite pets from video games.
Yes.
Good topics, Steven, you want to start us out with one of your favorite villains? And as usual, I keep it in a top three atmosphere where I only choose three people.
Fair. So...
And mine are so obscure, I am curious if you're going to know who any of them are.
Okay, damn. I was wondering if we were going to have a couple of the same, but I also don't want to talk about a lot of things we've talked about all the time. So yeah,
you're not going to have a single one of these fucking people in your life. If you have one of them, Steven, I will be the most surprised I've ever been in my life. Because this list, I had to think hard on like who really gave me like a heart attack as a fucking villain when I was a kid.
This was the hardest thing for me because I was like trying to figure out like what does favorite villain even mean? Like, is it because of the way they do it? Is it because they're different from other people? Is it because of how terrifying they are?
I judge it by how much of a lasting impact they had. Like, how well do I remember them today? Or the only thing I remember about that game is likely the villain.
I mean, that's fair.
Two of these fit perfectly for that. And one of them, the villain is so good that I just had to mention it.
That's fair. So I guess for me, one of the ones I think made a really lasting impact for me was Doc Ock from Marvel Spider-Man.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, that whole storyline of like the teacher mentor turning into arch nemesis and building the Sinister Six, like all of that lead up, all of that build up was so... We saw how easily that could have been fumbled. We saw how even incorporating three villains into Spider-Man 3, the movie, ruined it, doing too much at once. So having a first coming out game, having all of the Sinister Six was a huge leap. And for them to hit as hard as they did, and especially have as much of an emotional impact that Doc Ock had on me, like I'm not joking. I was in tears in that fight, like on the side of the building where Peter's like, "But I loved you. Gah. I cherished you. Gah. Why are you doing this, you piece of shit?" Like it's so like impactful and it's so good. And it really was just like a perfect encapsulation of that relationship and such a good way to have the Doc Ock villain and how he lost his mind and how this device took over his body.
Yeah, and I think just showing it in a slower sense, you know?
Like, yes.
One thing that's complaining about the movie is how quick it happens, how quickly he divulges into this maniac Doc Ock persona. But in the game, it's literally over the entirety of the game. He doesn't
like
do this
20-hour
like
game, so you get a huge...
Yeah, the third act of the game, I think, is when he starts really, like, diving into that villain persona. And by then, it's been, I think, weeks or months, like... It's not a quick turnaround, guys, and it's really cool that it does do that so fucking slowly, and you can watch it all happen.
Well, and the thing that's the scariest and the most terrifying about it is because of how fucking brilliant he is as a scientist. Like, he, Peter, and Osborn are the three leading scientists in the world, at like pretty much, besides Reed Richard and whatever, but,
and
like,
and
especially, But like it's so fucking ridiculous how smart these guys are, and to have one of them not in this game, the other one later is going to become a villain too, but have one of them become the leading villain, and he takes all of his smarts and he gives all of the other Sinister Six members different devices to amplify their powers even more to terrify the city and go after Peter even harder, which made that betrayal just so much worse because it's already villains he's already fought and captured in the game. Mm-hmm. So then when he lets them all free and gives them upgrades, you're like, what the fuck? Now I have to do this all again? Like, he does the villainy thing so well with how much he just, like, crazily changes the impact of the world.
Yeah.
And just betrays Peter in every way.
Fair. Hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to start my list off with a person you've never heard of before. Dasan. All right.
What is it?
Dasan.
Dasan.
This is the main antagonist in Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast, the Kyle Katarn series. So it starts with like, God, what is the first game? It's the Doom-like game. You play as Kyle Katarn in it.
I have no idea.
Forces of something or something like that. Essentially, there's this whole series in Star Wars that focuses on this Dark Forces. It might be Dark
Maybe.
Forces.
I think it's Dark Forces.
I can't remember. Because I know they made a Dark... Yeah, I think it is. It's Dark Forces, Dark Forces 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Jedi Knight games, because there's like 5 of them or something.
I've never played them, but I see them in our library because you have them.
Yes, because the Jedi Knight, Jedi Outcast is about Kyle Katarn after he gave up the Force.
Oh, okay.
So essentially, he starts out as a stormtrooper or an Imperial officer of some kind. His dad gets killed, so he becomes a bounty hunter. He gets hired by the Republic to stop the stormtroopers kind of deal during the war. Then after the war, he becomes a Jedi for a short time. He discovers the Valley of the Jedi, which is the area that all these Jedi died in the books.
Oh, okay.
It's actually a cool book story. It's about Darth Bane. But
oh, nice.
He discovers the Valley of the Jedi, which has a bunch of Force power, and it imbues him with the Force. So someone who doesn't naturally have the Force becomes Force sensitive.
Okay.
And he loses his power after a little while and then has to go back in Jedi Outcast because Dasan is like this fucking fucked up dude, okay?
Okay, okay.
He's the former apprentice of Luke Skywalker. He's like a lizard person, essentially. I've never seen his race before in Star Wars, but he's a lizard person of some sort.
Okay.
He takes on a human apprentice of his own that you have to defeat in the game as well.
Okay.
But he's just like this fucking badass dude. Luke had to banish him from the temple because he killed 4 apprentices. And he just felt like he was too strong in the Force, like, and he couldn't handle him at that moment. And then he turned to the dark side and then was able to defeat Luke in a lightsaber battle.
Damn.
And so Kylo Ren was, yeah, pretty much like, but in a better way. He was a better Kylo Ren. He had a much better story. Like, he was always kind of an outcast. He's not from some like privileged family or anything.
True.
He is like a proto Kylo Ren. And this is what I've always said about the new movies is how they just steal stuff from the fucking games.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They for sure stole the character of Kylo Ren from the games. And Dasan was the original, only Dasan was way fucking cooler.
I mean, they also kind of stole from the Crystal Star book series because that was all about Luke and Leia's kids. And it being about Kylo Ren, they kind of, because one of their kids, Jason, actually went evil.
Yeah.
So, like, they stole Jason and made him Kylo Ren.
Yeah, for sure. But in the game, one of the things that really sticks out to you is Dasan actually kills Jen Larso, who is Kyle Katarn's partner.
Oh, okay.
And love interest, like everything.
Oh, okay.
So, and that happens at the first mission of the game.
Damn.
He kills this character. And then at the end of the game, you realize he never killed her. He just captured her.
Oh, okay.
But Kyle Katarn went on this entire journey of reinitializing the Force in himself by going back to the Valley of the Jedi to kill Dasan. Like, his whole journey was just to kill this one guy. And this one guy almost decimated all the Jedi and almost started a second galactic war.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a really cool story. Yeah. It's like they did a really good job of that game, and I don't feel like it gets the proper love it deserves because, you know, everyone talks about like The Force Unleashed when that came out. We were all super into that, and everyone talked about the fucking new games. What are they called? I can't remember. Whatever the two newest games are, you know, that people really loved. It's the Dark Souls like fucking Star Wars.
Oh, Jedi Survivor.
Yeah. So, they talk about those and how good they are. And I'm like, well, you guys really don't know a good story because what you're experiencing right now is just this giant open world of bullshit. But if you played the fucking Kyle Katarn game, you would know how frustrating that game was compared to this one.
That's fair. I mean, I had a hard time with the Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order or whatever the first one's called games just because it felt too much like a Dark Souls game and not like a...
Star Wars game.
And like I saw this one mod though that I've been debating. I actually bought it on Steam just so I can play it with this mod because it makes the lightsabers real. So nice. You actually just cut through things like
See,
a lightsaber
and
would.
You would love the Jedi Knight games because you can do that. You just cut through things. The yeah. only time you don't is when you fight other Jedi, and it's just because they're blocking your saber.
Like, I really think, like, that's one of the biggest problems I have with a lot of Star Wars. And, like, the Star Wars movies are great because you're fighting lightsaber with lightsabers most of the time. Yeah. And when you're not, you slice through everything. But that's my problem with every other instance of it. It becomes a sword instead of a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when it becomes a blunt object and not something that slices through things like butter. Like,
yeah.
that just
and,
doesn't
like,
make sense to
like
me.
Especially, like, the minions, right? The minions yes. should be sliced through almost instantaneously.
All of them, instantly. Like, it shouldn't yeah. be a problem. And I know game's sake for game's sake, you gotta do blah, blah, blah.
But you don't, again, because they didn't yes. do that in... The only time it happens in the Jedi Knight games is if it's a droid and it has a shield.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the person has a lightsaber, and again, you're then just fighting a person with a lightsaber. They're not... Your hits aren't necessarily hitting them. It's hitting the lightsaber, and you have to... make the best of that and to me that's fucking perfect. Like,
I'm okay if you have a reason, even if it's a shitty reason, like yeah. like for me Injustice having that pill that yeah, Lex Luthor makes for everyone and that makes everyone as durable as Superman, that yeah. is the dumbest fucking bullshit thing, blah blah blah, fix it, yada yada, but at least it's a fucking explanation that yeah, like all right, you fix. Know if anyone can make a pill like that, it is probably Lex Luthor. I'm gonna allow this bullshit reason, but at least you're giving me a reason of why the fucking yeah. anybody
and
can stand toe to toe with
it. Like, again, I think you'd really like the Jedi Knight games because they're yeah. exactly what you want. You can throw your lightsaber and chop three stormtroopers in half. Like,
that's dude, what you I'm do telling that's why you, I like Force Unleashed, dude, because it was ridiculous. Yeah. You were just
you
overpowered.
Would,
like, it felt
yeah,
great.
You would love the Jedi Knight games. You should definitely play those. Even Force Unleashed had it where they had health, though. You had to hit yeah. them multiple times for some things to kill them, but
you
Jedi
could
Knight
like
games,
grab
you know,
them and you could like throw your lightsaber yeah, and them. Stab it into them and yeah. like at least it like had those effects where you could.
I
like,
believe you could do the same thing in Jedi Knight. I think Jedi Knight started all that. So
okay, but yeah.
All right. Well, let's go on to all your right. second one. What's your second one?
All right, second one. I am going to go with one I didn't think I was going to bring up, but I keep going back to for some reason. And it's a villain because he's a very unique villain. I don't even know if he's like really truly a villain, but he is the main antagonist of the story.
Okay.
But he didn't have to be. And this is the kind of the funniest part about it. So I'm talking about Far Cry 4 Pagan Min. And Pagan Min, he's voiced by Troy Baker, which obviously I love. Joel from The Last of Us, he does a bunch of other
yeah,
voices.
Yeah, we know. You have a man he's, crush on Troy Baker.
Dude, I do. And I met him, and he's gorgeous in person, too. He's a great guy.
I met him, and he told me to fuck off because he doesn't like the fact that I don't like Joel.
No, actually, we had a great conversation about Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, well, that's cool.
But, no, it was... he's such a unique character. He's like so like flamboyant as like this leader, and he's so just charismatic in a weird unique way. And if you stay in the beginning room, because the reason you go to this island is because your mother had just died and she wanted to have her ashes scattered in the place that she grew up in, this place in India. This ruler, Pagan Min, you go to him. He actually knew your mother. He actually has stories to tell you about your mother. He tells you, just wait in this room for 15 minutes. I'll take you directly to the spot she wants to scatter her ashes. We can have a great time together, and we'll just end the day. But then all of a sudden he leaves. You start hearing people screaming. You start hearing people like shooting guns outside. You hear someone being tortured inside, and most people leave and play the game as you play the game, and you join this rebellious cult that's going against Pagan Min. But if you stay there for 15 minutes, he actually comes back. He takes you on this grand journey. You go on helicopter rides with him. You're all just taking pictures, all smiling together. You go to the place, you scatter your mother's ashes. He gives you a great time, and you go home and nothing happens.
The
and if you do, if you do play the game, like the two rebel leaders, they're both shitty in their own ways. And I didn't like any of them as much as I liked Pagan Min. Like, Pagan Min was such like a charismatic and unique. He's a horrible guy in most aspects, like as an actual leader. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's a great guy, but he was just
so cool. Then he chopped
he so
off
much
a couple heads,
and
but
better.
I mean, seriously, super cool.
In that game, like he was, he, And he had to come back and piggyback off of having Voss in the last game, which how do you compare to Voss? Yeah. It's so hard. And I mean, I could have said Voss, but we've talked about him.
Bad guy.
Yeah, I know. It was Hoyt.
So stupid.
And I would even say Citro is more of an impactful villain in that series, yeah, too. Yeah. Like, he's the third rate villain in that, but he stole the show and everyone talks about him. Mm-hmm. But no one, I feel like, talks about Pig and Min as much. And I feel like Joseph Seed was way too controversial. But I Pig and Min was just a fun, unique character. And I especially really liked the aspect of if you didn't do anything, he actually did, was just like a nice guy to you. Like, that's just so hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fair, fair. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to talk about somebody you've probably never heard of before, but you know who it is because I know you've played this game. Eric Sparrow.
Eric Sparrow.
Eric Sparrow, the antagonist from Tony Hawk Underground.
Oh,
this son of a bitch. Dude. This son of a fucking bitch. Okay. This is one of the only things I remember about this game. Like, I remember the jumping over the helicopter. The only reason jumping over the helicopter is because Eric Sparrow said that he did it and when he didn't. So Eric Sparrow is the antagonist from Tony Hawk Underground. He's your best friend in the game. You guys are trying to get a sponsorship to be pro skaters and you have to do some cool shit. You get on a team and Eric kind of like tries to sabotage you at first, but then kind of comes back and is like, okay, he becomes slightly cool.
Interesting.
So, and then he just becomes such an asshat. Like, to get the sponsorship, you decide, okay, I'm going to jump over these two buildings and a helicopter. Mm. And Eric Sparrow took the video and then said it was him who did it. And he gets sponsored by a pro team. You get sponsored by some nobody team who doesn't know you. And then by the end of the game, you have to have a skating competition with Eric Sparrow to see who's the best skater.
Yeah,
and it's just it's one of those villains that if you played the game, you'd remember this fucking jackass the entire time, like, you're alive, because he's just such a fucking asshole. It's just like, hey, dude, I'm your bro, but I'm gonna take all your money. Get that cool, but I'm still your bro. He's the epitome of, like, I'm gonna try to be your friend as long as I can to get what I want out of you. And
yeah, I've as long as you're giving me something, like, you're my best friend.
Exactly. And this character has stuck with me for my entire life because I'm like, I don't want to meet a person like that in my life because they could be anyone. Fair. Like, literally, that could be anyone.
That's fair. Dude, I haven't even thought about him in so long.
Oh, God. He's such a cool character, too. Like, in general, like, it is such an interesting character to build because normally Tony Hawk games don't have a story and they don't have an antagonist. But in this game, they decided to do both.
Yeah, I think four was it four that was the first one that had a story? And then Underground?
I don't know. Yeah. Probably. You're probably right. But Underground was such a cool game anyway. If you've ever played Underground, please go play Underground. Well, that's one game that I wish they'd remake already because I loved Underground.
Yeah, Underground and American Wasteland. I could do both of those.
I never played American Wasteland, but I'm pretty sure we've talked about that before.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, what do you got for your last one?
All right, last one. I kind of went with one that it's kind of a cop-out answer a little bit, but I went with ones that impacted me the most. And two game series.
I want you to know before you continue that you went one with a cop-out answer, and I'm going to go with the biggest fucking villain of all time. So you go.
All right.
In my opinion, the biggest villain of all time.
It's a cop-out answer because it's not really like one villain. It's the whole villains of these two series. There's two horror games to me that have had the biggest impacts, I think, for me, villain-wise, on their stories, their backstories, their lore, everything, like the way that they presented in the game, everything about them is terrifying to my core, and I love and hate all of them.
Okay.
It's the villains from Outlast and Resident Evil. I mean, in Outlast,
cop out answer. Boo.
Like I said, a little bit of cop out answer, but Outlast, you got Billy the Hog. I mean, you got the groom. He is just one of the most terrifying fucking villains and people I've ever heard of, ever created. The whole backstory and lore of him and what he likes to do is the most brutal, terrifying thing ever. And I love watching torture movies. Like, that one is still terrifying to me. Like, I think about that one a lot when I'm like, most brutal ways to die.
Yeah.
Like, that one stuck with me. The Dick twins are terrifying in that. I call them the Dick twins because they're twins that just walk around naked and they just chase you and they're just terrifying.
That is not their fucking name, but
name. But I heard a couple other streamers calling them the Dick twins, and I loved it. I stuck with it. But just like every part of that, the doctors in that are terrifying. Like, mm-hmm. every character in that. Same with Resident Evil. Like, Resident Evil Biohazard, especially for me. Like, that one, all the characters. Like, when you see the wife when she first turns, it one is one of the most terrifying like entry scenes into a horror game. And just the way the characters can like break through walls and come at you with chainsaws. Like, chainsaws is one of my biggest fears. So just anything like that does that, just generates that primal fear like that game does. Or Mr. X in Resident Evil 2, we both talked about him in the remake. He's just a menace, a
giant
terrifying
monstrosity from Resident Evil 4 that you have to fight.
Yes, exactly. Like every one of these villains, and even the little like Napoleon guy or whatever in Resident Evil 4 was hilarious and kind of stupid, but like a fun boss fight and really gimmicky. But going against like Welker's dude or whatever, like all of that shit, like Welker is a great villain, even like Nemesis. Mm-hmm. So just all of them in those horror series, both those series, I think their villains are just ultra terrifying to me. And I think that have encapsulated my kind of horror the most and what terrifies me the most.
Okay. Well, my last one is Lord Malice.
Lord Malice.
So this is like, I barely remember this game, but I have never forgotten the ending of this game because this guy was such a fucking asshole. And it was just such a reveal to see him. Okay. So essentially it's Army Men Sarge's War on the GameCube. Okay.
I love that game, dude.
It was such a good game, but it's crazy. Because like the beginning of the game, you finally get peace between the tans and the greens. And then throughout the game, you figure out that there's a tan group that doesn't want peace and they're trying to sabotage it. And they launch what is essentially a nuke and destroy Greentown, which is where the peace talks were, kills all your friends, kills the entire green and tan leadership. Okay. Like, it was like, it's a fucked up game for like a kid's game.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, like in all your, like, and this is a series, guys. Sarge has always been like a series starting with the N64. And at the end of this game, you finally meet Lord Malice and you figure out, holy shit, Lord Malice, that you defeat him and he says, take off my helmet. Because he's wearing this helmet and you take it off and it turns out he's a green soldier.
Damn.
And who he is Major Gooding, who in one of the previous games you left somewhere and said someone will come back for you and no one ever came back for him.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so he gets captured by the Tans and turned into a tan soldier.
Damn, some like G.I. Joe shit.
Yeah, so he gets captured, turned into a tan soldier, he killed all of, and this is all for revenge against Sarge. Not even just against the army, he's pissed off at fucking Sarge. So he killed all his friends, he killed all his leaders, he killed the peace talks that he worked so hard to achieve. And at the end, he's just laughing, he's like, you defeated me, but no, you didn't, because I won.
Fuck.
I got my revenge.
All right.
Villain, I have never forgotten that villain as long as I played that game when I was probably 9 or 10. And I have never forgotten that villain.
I wouldn't mind going back to those games. Those games are so fun. I love playing multiplayer on those games, honestly.
Yeah, they were so much fun. There was a great one for the N64 that was just like the best multiplayer. I remember it being a big deal because you could essentially play with your head blown off.
because I remember that one
and I played with this kid Jacob and his mom, who was a complete fucking bitch, and his mom was like Jacob's telling him, like, hey, you know, we could play with our heads blown off, and she's like, you could play with what? Have you ever seen South Park? It's pretty much Kyle's mom in a nutshell.
Well, Kyle's mom's bitch is the biggest bitch in the whole damn world.
But like, it's that, what? Like, it's that reaction when you tell her anything. And so when he told her that, she banned us from playing that at her house.
Damn.
And I was like, all right, that's fine. We will never come over here again. And I stopped hanging out with Jacob after that.
Damn. Poor so, Jacob. Sorry, Jacob.
Sorry, Jacob. Your fucking mom was a bitch. And just similar to your mom, too, by the way, where your mom banned like certain things that she didn't like, even though she kept other things that were probably parallel with them.
Yeah.
She allowed her kids to play Diablo 2, but
hated that I showed my brothers Diablo 3 and that they.
Yeah, well, what I mean is your mom would them. Like keep witchcraft shit, but then ban other witchcraft shit, right?
Well, yeah.
But she let her kids play Diablo 2, but wouldn't let them play Army Men. And I was like, that's really stupid because Diablo 2 is far worse.
Army of a... Men.
No, not you. Jacob's mom.
Oh, Jacob's
I'm,
mom.
In
sorry.
Comparison, I'm comparing I'm sorry, I was them. Confused. Jacob's mom let her kids play Diablo, but not Army Men.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Even though Diablo 2, in my opinion, is a way worse fucking game than,
oh, it's
than Army
way
Men
more
was.
Brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Diablo
but again,
games are
the only parallel
brutal.
Is that she would let them play that and your mom would like watch Charmed and shit but say no witch shit in the house.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the parallel does exist there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of Hippocratic nature kind of
it's
shit.
So
it's so annoying. Like it, so you, annoying. You have to really think about that shit. Like think from those perspectives. Like you can't be a hypocrite. You can't say I allow this, but I don't allow this. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just because you like that and you don't like that. If you don't like you're something, just tell someone you don't like it.
You're allowed to have sex, but you're not allowed to come. That simple.
That would be torture, man.
That would be torture for everyone.
Oh, God, no.
No, all right. Well, that was our villains. I hope you appreciated my deep cuts because those are super deep.
Those were very deep. All right.
There's no way anyone on the internet has ever mentioned any of those villains outside of a video about that game before, by the way.
You know, I'm glad that we kind of did go from ones that weren't norm, because I almost thought about like doing like Andrew Ryan and Gladys and the Joker, those are ones everyone talks about.
Well, not just everyone talks about, like they're not that bad. That's the problem is these people I mentioned are fucking terrible villains. They do evil shit. They kill thousands of people or they steal like an entire career that could be worth millions of dollars. Like what Gladys did was just exist essentially. And she was a villain.
Oh, dude, I almost said like Diablo and Lilith from Diablo series because like, holy fuck. Like if you think of that, all the shit they've done in the grand scheme, it's insane. Like,
it's everything. Literally, they've done everything.
But yeah, so I guess let's get into our favorite pets. And you want to start it off?
Sure. I'm going to start out with a strong one. Gauntlet Legacy.
Okay.
So this is one of my favorite pets that you can get in a game because it's a pet that can help you fight. And it's the phoenix or the dragon.
Okay.
Essentially, you get a phoenix or dragon as like an extra companion that can help you fight as you level up. And it's really fucking cool.
Nice.
And, you know, Gauntlet was one of my early favorite games. I remember playing my first Gauntlet game on the arcade machine when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
And then when they released Gauntlet for N64, and I believe for GameCube is where Gauntlet Legacy comes from. I was obsessed with it forever. I bought it on the N64 and me and my buddies would just play it nonstop. Like it was just so much fun. And we would just brag like, well, I got a blue dragon. Oh yeah. Well, I got a green dragon. Well, I got a phoenix. And we'd all be like, you're a loser. We'd use different words than loser, but
yeah,
we're not going to say those words because they are not appropriate anymore.
You know, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
When I was a kid, we used very different language and we were not intelligent enough to realize how hurtful that language was. So.
Exactly. We all made mistakes. We learned from it. We moved and improved.
But that was one of the coolest pets you could get was either a dragon or the phoenix just to help you fight in Gauntlet.
Yeah, I never really played the Gauntlet series too much. I played it every once in a while when we go to arcade just because Jen loved that game. She actually had the same love for it like from her childhood. I didn't play it as much as a kid.
A cool game. I would get like an arcade thing and have that in the arcade machine here at my house.
Anytime we go to one of those beer arcades, we look for it.
Yeah, right.
Barcades. Yeah, that's what
just,
it is.
Just get Barcade.
Barcades, yeah.
Barcade.
They're fun, dude. Barcades are pretty cool.
They are. They have a bunch of them here now.
Yeah.
All right. What's your pet? What you got?
All right. First one I wanted to bring up is this one is one of the cutest, one of the coolest, one of the most badass ones from the Monster Hunter series. It's your Palicos.
Yeah, of course.
The fucking Palicos are the coolest fucking creatures, dude. They cook for you. They work out.
You can
customize them with them all your gear you want, yeah, and give them weapons. They can fight with you. Like, these guys are ride or die homies. They're with you every step of the way. Dude, like, these Falcos, and they have the fucking coolest cutscene animations with everything they do. They're adorable as fuck.
They cook, like, for you and everything too. Like, they are,
dude,
like,
the cat chefs are awesome, dude. Yep. And they make the most delicious looking food. It's just the coolest shit, honestly. Like, I love how much love this game has for cats, and all the shit you get to do with your cat is insane. Especially the one that really got me into it was Monster Hunter 3. And then Monster Hunter World, when that came out, they really jumped on Palicos a lot. So Palicos have been around for me. And Freedom Unite also did a lot with Palicos. So it's a mainstream thing in all the series. But
yeah,
they're my favorite aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, when I played World, that was the coolest part, just having a little Palico. I keep thinking awesome. I should go back and play World again, but it's been so long that I don't really care to.
I want to, because I didn't ever play the Iceborne expansion, so I've thought about going back just to, like, go back.
I'd want to start
that
from the beginning, though, and, like, just completely.
Yeah, me too.
Because I cannot remember any. I had a cool character. I put, like, hundreds of hours in that game.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Stop playing it.
I bought it on the PlayStation because I was going to play with a bunch of Jin's
friends.
Oh, yeah,
I that's
played
right.
with them, like, twice.
You fucked
and then
up. Because you bought it on the PlayStation.
Well,
because
I asked all my
Xbox
friends, and they're like, no, we're probably not going to get this game. And then a couple of my other friends are like, we're going to get this game. And they're like, hey, Steven, are you actually going to, you want to play with us? We actually got the game. And I'm like, I bought it on the wrong system because you guys said you weren't going to get it.
I don't know who you are. You didn't ask me. I know that because
I can't remember if I asked you or if I asked Zach or.
You probably asked Zach because I was talking with another friend who said, hey, I'm going to get this game, Scott, if you want to play it. And we were game sharing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, I'll try it. And then I loved it after that. So
yeah.
And he stopped playing it almost immediately.
Because I played it back when it was on the PSP only in America. So, like,
yeah,
that was.
Before it was cool. No, it was on,
yeah,
it was on the Nintendo DS before that.
No, it was on the PSP, I think, first. Freedom, Monster Hunter 3, Freedom Unite, I think was the first.
I thought
first.
The Nintendo DS came out before the PSP.
I think it was the same time, honestly, maybe.
I don't remember. I know it was on the Nintendo DS in, like, 2005.
Because I was playing that in, like...
No, 2006.
Either 8th grade or freshman year, I think.
Yeah. Well, I did. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. I like that. I like the Palico answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to come at you with one of the most famous dogs of all time.
Dog meat?
No, the Fable 2 dog.
Oh, okay. I actually did see some people bring this one up.
Oh, my God. This one is crazy. So this dog is
it.
Like, Fable 2 is one of the coolest games in the world. It was a very well-done sequel to Fable, and I love Fable. Fable was such
nice.
A fucking phenomenal game.
Fable is a good game.
And Fable 2 is just as fucking good.
Nice.
And there's a dog you get, and by the end of the game, like, this dog has been with you the entire game. Okay. And this is the fucked up thing about this game. Okay. This is like
okay.
The most fucked up thing that you could imagine about this game. The entire game's about stopping the Lord of Bowerstone, right?
Okay.
Or I say Lord, he's the king. King of Bowerstone. And he has been building the spire to grant a wish.
Okay.
You can only grant one wish. And in the process of building this spire, he's killed like millions of people. Okay.
And also your dog.
Well, kind of. So at the near end of the game, you get trapped by him in a shield. You can't get out.
Okay.
And the dog tries to save you. And this is like after 20, 30 hours of playing the game with the dog. It's been constantly helping you the entire game.
Okay.
He shoots and kills the dog.
Fucking bastard.
Right in front of you. And you watch. You can't do anything. You can't help it. You can't give it a potion. You're stuck in the shield. You cannot help the dog. It just, it dies in front of you 100%.
Yeah, I know. And you call John Wick because you're like, I'm going to go John Wick on this ass.
Well, this is the first John Wick because now you're really pissed. And then you have to go on and you can kill him and you get the wish.
Okay.
And you can either wish for your family, which includes your dog, back. So that's your sister who he killed.
Or everybody.
Well, you get one of three wishes. I don't remember what the third wish was.
Money?
I think it is money. I think it's the greed wish.
I think it is.
So you get a greed wish, you get the family wish, or you get the bring millions of people back from the dead wish.
Yeah. sorry, people, about all your family members. My dog died, all right?
Well, and
you
like,
don't understand the trauma of 20 hours of
relationship. Well, you really don't unless you play the game. Literally, your dog did so much. It helped you in fights. It would finish off people who were down for you. It would find hidden items for you.
I'm not downplaying.
Oh, my God. He was so involved. And then you get attached to it because you can teach it tricks and give it treats and shit. And they built the dog this way on purpose to make you sad when it died.
I mean, well, and that's such a gut-wrenching question at that point, because if you really think about that, like, so many people are going to want to save the person they've grown an emotional attachment to. Yeah. But if you had to go to those million people's families and say, sorry, my dog is more important than your family member.
Well, you wouldn't
member.
Have to. Fuck those people. It's your
Well,
fucking
I know
wish.
You wouldn't have to, but
they
if
didn't
you
go
thought
defeat
about
the
that,
fucking
like,
bad guy for
the,
it.
The, obviously, that's such a horrible thing to, like,
yeah.
those people thought. If anyone found out about that, like, you would be the pariah of the town.
Yeah.
And everyone would hate you.
Oh, and they do find out. That's the thing. If you wish that, everybody knows. Okay. Everybody Damn. Knows. Yep. And then Damn. You become like a hated person. But then later on, Fable knew they made a mistake. The Lionheart, I think it was the studio.
Okay.
Or Lionsgate or something like that.
I don't remember.
They knew they made a mistake. They decided to release a DLC to bring the dog back. So you can make the best choice and get your dog back by going to Knothole Glade Island.
Well, good. I'm glad they fixed that, because making it like we're gonna kill your dog or
like, oh my, it was what a fucking choice. I'll tell you that right now. That was a fucking choice.
Fair.
That was one of the hardest things you'd ever have to do.
All right. My next one. It's kind of a two-way tie from this game, the same game. And it's kind of for two different takes you want to go. So this is in Far Cry 5. But I think both
talk about
these...
the fucking bear.
No, I'm not talking about cheeseburger. Fuck cheeseburger.
He was in there, right? And then there was a
leopard,
he is
in
I
there.
Think.
Yeah, cheeseburger. Oh, most mountain of the lion. Animals have appeared in multiple games.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't there a mountain lion too?
Yeah, Peaches. That's what I was going to talk about. Peaches and Boomer.
And wasn't there also a dog?
Boomer, yep.
Oh,
Peaches
okay,
and Boomer.
Sure
those
right.
are the two I was going to
okay.
talk about, actually. Peaches is the ultimate killing machine.
It
if
is.
You want to stealth fucking go through a game, you take Peaches. She is mm-hmm. stealthy as fuck. She's a mountain lion that will, or puma or whatever she is, that will just destroy anybody. Like, she is so fast at killing, so stealthy, so amazing. Like, just amazing to have. But if you're looking more of the I want to run and gun through the game approach to the game, Boomer is your ride or die. Boomer will go, and as soon as you kill an enemy, he'll go and take the enemy's gun and bring it back to you like he's fetching a stick, and give you weapons throughout the game. So like, you want to keep switching weapons, you've run out of ammo or whatever, he's going to keep bringing you guns. He's going to keep you locked and loaded, and he revives you faster than any other animal. So if you do go down, he's going to be right on your side. So like, both of these animals, they're in multiple games. They're so amazing to have for different approaches, but I couldn't pick just one because it depends on how you want to play the game.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah.
I mean, I would have probably picked Peaches over because Peaches is just
Peaches
a cool
is my favorite.
Pet.
Yeah. Dude, Peaches is amazing. And I mean, even Peaches' owner was really funny.
Too,
yeah.
Was the funniest thing. It's just so fucking stupid.
I love just this old woman living alone in the house just by herself in this mountain lion. Peaches. And at first you get told you're just going to like rescue a cat or something, I think is your first like
you have no idea that it's actually a fucking mountain lion.
And you're like, oh shit. You're
and
like luring into a cage with giant deer meat and shit. Yep. Oh my God, that's so good.
All right. Well, for my last one here, I'm going to talk about the dog from Fallout 3, which I believe is Dog Meat.
Yeah, that is Dog Meat. He's also in Fallout 4.
No, different dog in Fallout 4.
Oh, okay. Maybe they're both just called Dog Meat? Or I don't know. Fallout 4 is Dog Meat for sure.
Okay, then it's not Dog Meat. Okay, good. Okay. I didn't think so. It's a German Shepherd you find.
Dog Meat, German Shepherd too.
Yeah, I think it's always a German Shepherd.
Mm.
So in Fallout 3, it's interesting actually because it's different. Your dog can die and die forever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and then, but you can get this perk that allows you to adopt its kids that it inevitably had.
Okay.
So you always have a dog. Whether it dies or not.
Dog Meat. Dog Meat Junior. Dog Meat Junior.
Well, and see, I think it's a litter, so I think it's just like unlimited litter. So essentially, they're all your first dog's babies.
I mean, it's just a funny thought. It's a really funny thought,
but that was a really funny thing when I first played Fallout 3, just getting that perk and being like, this is really fucking weird. I don't know if this is right, and I don't know if they changed that later on, because I haven't played Fallout 3 in a long time, but I feel like later on, like, your partners didn't die, but for sure your dog could, and you had to, like, go and find, like, here's the thing, in Fallout 4, you get the dog basically automatically.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything to get the dog. Yeah. But in Fallout 3, you had to go to the junkyard, you had to find the dog, you had to do a quest line, and then you got the dog as a partner, and then the dog could die, but then you could get the perk to get more dogs. So there was always a dog on your team, and it was really cool, and the dog was useful, and it's not like it wasn't useful in the game.
Yeah.
But it was, and eventually you would trade it out for the more useful companions, because there are people with guns are way more useful than the dogs are.
fair.
But it's a cool pet. Like, it was really cool when you first play the game, just finding it, being like, oh my god, I'm not traveling this wasteland alone, thank you.
Nice. Yeah, I need to play the Fallout games, honestly. I need to, because I've only played like the first hour of probably two of them, but then never did anything further. So
Fallout 4 is the best in my opinion, but Fallout 3 was a lot of fun. I want to do 4 in New Vegas for sure. Well, New Vegas has the best story. I will say that right off the bat. And I think it's got fun gameplay, but the gameplay in 4 is so much better. But 3 had the most conscientious choice you had to make.
Okay, fair. So,
and
I mean, I definitely want to play those 3 more than any of the others, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to go back and play
Fallout
the original.
Fallout 1 and 2 is just, there's no... You know how Fallout 1 and 2 work?
Yeah, they're way different, yeah.
You know what the game is?
Not really. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know it's different.
Here's the funny thing about Fallout 1 and 2 is there's a step counter.
Oh, okay.
And you can only walk a certain amount of steps.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think it increases the entire game. I think as soon as you're out of steps, you die.
Oh, fun.
It's like a board game. Like, you only have a certain number of moves you can make. And it's more like RTS style. It's over the top, like, or maybe RPG. It's an RPG, but it's over the top RPG.
Yeah.
Not a third person or first person view RPG at all. So,
yeah.
It's still totally interesting. Different. The stories are cool, but it's just, it's kind of a weird game style. I wouldn't mind if they got the Resident Evil touch, you know?
Fair.
That would be a cool thing that they could do if Bethesda ever wanted to try to release 1 and 2, but they need to get rights from the original owners.
Fair. All right. I got one more then. It's actually another one from a Far Cry game. Far Cry does their pets right.
They do. That's all they're known for, pretty much, is pets and, like, really fucking good villains.
Pets, villains, and gameplay.
No, well, gameplay is always the same.
I know, but it's really good. Like, it's solid gameplay.
Yeah,
it's one of the best
for
gun gameplay, especially with the variety.
Because it never changes, and because there's so many games, I don't consider it like a gameplay game to tout the gameplay, but the gameplay is very good.
Yes. Like, there's not one that's really bad performing one.
No.
They're all really solid.
It's a carbon copy of the previous one, yes.
Yes. I mean, I'm not denying that in the slightest.
I think the only thing I hated about the Far Cry games really was the driving, because I'm pretty sure in
you can auto-drive, though.
Well, in 3, it was like such a shit experience to turn. The cars didn't feel real. Like, it just felt
that's
like
that's why I do
crappy...
auto-drive, dude.
Yeah, and I auto-drove all the time, but it's just like all the games, they kind of made the driving lazy.
Well, and honestly, like, so I think it started in 5 and in 6, you can just airdrop anywhere on the map.
Which is much better.
Dude, it's phenomenal traversal.
Yeah,
like,
and you
got
the squirrel
and then
suit or whatever.
Yeah, you get the squirrel suit, the wingsuit, and you're just like flying around. And seriously, you can drop, like, if the point you need to go is like 2,000 meters this way, you can drop this way and just like beeline it like midair.
Almost,
and it's so cool.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal way to do traversal, and I'm glad they did it, because the bigger the maps got, the worse
the
travel
harder.
Did feel.
Yeah. And again, when you're driving in their shit driving landscape, which they never change.
But besides all of that, so this one's from Far Cry 6, and this goes to the most adorable pet of all time, probably, in video
penguin?
Games. Chorizo. And Chorizo is a wiener dog. Who doesn't have his back legs, so he's got wheels on his back legs.
Oh, so cute.
and he is so adorable, and he distracts guards for you. He'll go up and the people are like, oh my god, you're so adorable, and then like you just kill him.
But at least the last thing they got to see was a cute wiener dog.
Yes, he's the most adorable wiener dog in the game. He has all this stuff with you, and honestly it's really cool because like the DLC for the game, they actually did this Stranger Things crossover where they went into the Upside Down. And the reason
had legs there.
The reason they go into the Upside Down is because Chorizo accidentally fell into the Upside Down, so they have to go rescue Chorizo in the Upside Down.
But yeah, I would leave fucking Chorizo in the Upside Down. I'd be like,
yeah, sorry, I'm not risking my life for
get the Metallica out.
It in the gameplay, it's so cool to like go into the Upside Down to rescue this adorable dog and like find his wheel and be like, oh no, he's probably dead. like it's so cool. It's really cool that they bring in a dog with a disability into the game too. It's just so unique, so different, and the animal series in this game all being like very ferocious fighters and killers and like wild boars and saber-toothed tigers and mountain lions and raging bears, like having just this small wiener dog that is just adorable was such a different experience in the game that was so unique and fun.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's definitely different from most games because most games try to make their pets very strong, I feel.
Yeah.
Like. You know, Fable 2 made the dog strong enough to kill things when he's on the ground. The German Shepherd strong in Fallout. If you think about Dragon Age, there's a dog can get in that too. That's just this giant monstrosity of a dog that kills things. Like,
yeah.
Like, fair. Like normally they try to make the animals and creatures as strong as you would be.
Yes,
but
I agree.
Seeing a game where they essentially make a little bitch dog and they're like, all right, we got to make it cute so it can distract people.
Yes, it's so good.
Because, you know, if they made a cat, it would be like, hey, cat, go get those keys. And it would instantly be able to get the keys by sliding through exactly. things. You know, like, it'd be very useful, but a little wiener dog with missing its hind legs, too. that's just beautiful. That is perfect. That is the best companion you
like
could
I
possibly
said.
Put in the fucking game.
And honestly, like, this game doesn't get as much love as it does, too, just because it wasn't as controversial.
Five and three are just so fucking good, I think, that it's hard for others to compete.
Well, and Juan Carlos Esposito as the main villain is incredible, and Danny Trejo being in the game, and the crossover with, as stupid as it is, the crossover was really fantastic.
Yeah,
they actually have a bunch
like
of expansions.
Crossovers.
They have a bunch of expansions in the game too, where you get to play as the villains from previous games. So you get to play as Voss, you get to play as Pagan Min, and you get to play as Justice Seed. But you're playing them trapped in like their consciousness, where they have to fight things to. And you get like deeper lore into why they're as crazy as they are.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's all this like insanity pack. It's unique.
All right. Well, that was it, guys. That was us talking about pets and villains.
Yes.
We hope
you enjoyed
that.
Tell us some of your favorite pets.
Yeah, seriously. Send us an email, soulofagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your favorite pets or your favorite villains. Tell us why. Like, we'll feature them on the podcast if you shoot us a little message there. So
soulofagamerpodcast.com. And we are on TikTok at soulofagamerpodcast as well.
Yep. Bum, bum, bum. We are on everything. So
everything.
We will see you on the next week's episode, guys. Bye.
Love you.
Bye.